It's time for Ask the Vet with Dr. Ryan Leiterman of Crystal Creek. If you have a question relating to calf health and housing, email Dr. Leiterman at askthevet@crystalcreeknatural.com.
We continue our conversation on feeding young calves with milk replacer. And Ryan, each feeding program is a little different when it comes to milk replacer.
Yeah. Well, and we've had clients long enough on our milk replacer program now where they've gone from a competitive replacer at a more similar fat and protein levels. And they've gone onto our way of thinking where we have a higher protein, lower fat replacer that's a better quality mixture. And now those animals are in the lactating string. And it's kind of cool when the clients can look back and say, you know, this is what our heifers used to produce. And now we've got heifers in the barn that were on your calf feed program all the way through their life. And now we look at what their new production is. And it's neat when you can see 1,000 pounds, 1,300 pounds per lactation, more production because of an improved calf feeding program. And those are real life stories that we see from our customers. And it's pretty satisfying.
You'd mentioned high milk prices. You know, we also have inflationary costs, you know, with pretty much everything else, higher input costs. The milk replacer cost jumped.
Oh, it's jumped significantly. Milk replacer costs will parallel what the milk price is. So as milk prices rise, milk replacer costs rise. As milk prices decrease, milk replacer costs decrease. And that's because we use byproducts from the milk processing industry to make our milk replacer. So as the whey protein concentrates and stuff go up, the ingredients to make the milk replacer also go up. So as milk prices go up, replacer prices go up. But what's the difference between the two? The two lines will parallel each other, but the cost of the milk replacer is generally still below the cost of the milk being sold. So that's why it's more economically advantageous to feed.
Everything goes up, but it still makes sense to make that investment.
Still pencils out, yeah. There are some other advantages to feeding powder over whole milk. I mean, whole milk is a wonderful feed. Don't get me wrong, calves grow great on it. Sometimes it has to be managed a little more. Are you going to pasteurize it? If you're not going to pasteurize it, how are you going to store it to make sure that it's low bacteria when you feed it? Milk replacer has a lot less management and pasteurization and storage issues associated with it. So sometimes from a convenience factor as well, that's a win for the dairy. If a farm is going to use milk replacer, the actual mixing of the powder, although it seems straightforward, can actually be a little complicated. One thing to consider is your mixing temp. But the water that you mix with should always be somewhere between 110 to 120 degrees Fahrenheit. And that's because there's fats in the milk replacer powder that need to be dissolved evenly into the milk. And if you mix with water that's too cold, the fats don't evenly disperse throughout the mixture and we can get an uneven mix. So water temperature is really huge. The other thing is in these colder weather temperatures, we need to be cognizant of how warm the milk replacer is when we're feeding it to the calf. So say it's a normal January day in Wisconsin, it's 0 degrees outside. If you start mixing with water that's 110 degrees, and then you add your powder, that temperature might drop to 105 degrees. And then you go out and you feed your calves, and say you got a fair amount of calves to feed. That milk replacer might be 95 degrees by the time it gets to the last calf, and that's way too cold. We want the last calf to get milk replacer that's at least at a minimum above 101. I'd like them to be 102 or more. So what a lot of our clients will do when it's cold out is they'll mix with warmer water. They might mix with 120, maybe even 123 degree water, add the powder, mix it up. By the time they get it to the first calf, it might be 109 degrees. And by the time they get it to the last calf, it might be 103 degrees. And then we know at least those calves are getting the right temperature feed. When I was a younger veterinarian, I had a customer with a milk taxi. I was out on the farm. It was January or February in northern Wisconsin. She went out to feed the calves, and the milk taxi had a digital thermometer on there, and it said it was 112 degrees. I said, holy smokes, you can't feed calves a milk replacer mix that's 112 degrees. Are you kidding me? That's way too hot. She said, yeah, well, whatever. I've been doing it for years, so you can watch me do it. And so I followed her on when she fed. I think that day she started feeding calves at 112 degrees. I think the last calf got it delivered at 108 degrees. And those calves looked phenomenal. So that was a learning thing for me. And now I always recommend to my farmers, if you got to be wrong on the temperature one way or the other, always feed it to the calf a little on the warm side. I mean, 112 degrees is maybe a little on the warm side, but I wouldn't hesitate at 110 or 108 degrees to be giving calves milk in the winter. And erring on the side of being too warm is much better for the calf health than erring on the side of being too cold. When calves get fed milk or milk replacer is too cold, the fats are poorly digestible, the proteins are not as digestible, they're more likely to scour, they don't get as many calories out of that. And the meal itself creates a thermal drain where now instead of the calf getting warmed by eating a warm meal, it actually has to donate body heat to warm the milk back up to temp in its stomach, and we don't want to divert calories in that manner either.
Thanks, Ryan. Dr. Ryan Leiterman, Director of Technical Services with Crystal Creek.
This has been Ask the Vet with Dr. Ryan Leiterman, sponsored by Crystal Creek. If you have a question relating to calf health and housing, email Dr. Leiterman at askthevet@crystalcreeknatural.com.